Royal Dutch Shell, the Anglo-Dutch energy giant, yesterday said its flagship Russian gas project would be delayed by at least 8 months and cost $20 billion, twice the original estimate. Now, remember that Royal Dutch Shell is the company, over the past couple of years, that kept revising its estimated reserves down, you know.
Sharply down.
Sharply down, like 4 or 5 times. You know, because, of course, the insiders get stock options based on a certain estimate of reserves. Once the stock reflected these bogus estimates, they cashed out. Then they brought the truth, but it was too late because they cashed out. They figured, oh, we might get fined, but the money we'll make on this particular market manipulation scam will be far excessive than any fine any weak regulator could impose. And after all, we're a corporation, and we own the regulators. See, the problem is that you and I are under corporate occupation. Forget about the occupation in these other little skirmishes around the world. There's one big occupation called corporate occupation, and you and I are suffering as a result, my friends. So the giant Sakhalin 2 liquefied natural gas project off the east coast of Russia has been beset by a range of problems, the company said, including the rising cost of raw materials, a shortage of contractors. Now, this is interesting because contractors, the price of contractors is going up. When you have an economy like in the U.S. and the U.K. that relies on illegally entering other countries and employing contractors to steal all the assets, well, the price of contractors goes up. So that business model might be under threat. So Shell, which is an environmental terrorist, is having profit squeezed due to the rise in the cost of contractors. I would imagine this will be reflected in foreign territories as well, where they try to go in there. Like in Iraq, for example, they rely on mercenaries and contractors. Price goes up, they're going to be squeezed. Forget about the bombers. They're going to be, their profits going to be squeezed because of the contractors. Who's worse, the suicide bombers or the gouging contractors? They got to factor both of these things into the equation. The project had already been delayed by environmental concerns. Oh, like as if they have environmental concerns? Since when? That's a cover. They're just running into the tall weeds of so-called environmental concerns. We know that they are concerns for the environment equal a big fat zero, big fat goose egg. Well, I look at their annual statements, their 10K, their 10Q. I don't see one single line item for environmental concerns. Not anywhere in any of those statements, not even in the footnotes. If you're those of you who just joined us, we're talking about today's Financial Times. They've got a picture of the terrorist on the front page of the Financial Times. His name is Royal Dutch Shell. They got a photo of him right now, right here on the Financial Times. Anyway, unfortunately, it is now clear that the Sakhalin project budget and schedule were significantly underestimated. Underestimated, once again, this is insiders cooking the books. We already know Shell cooks the books. They overestimated their reserves. Now they've underestimated the costs. Doesn't matter if you're overestimated or underestimated. It's all cooking the books, isn't it? Book cooking. They should go into the cookbook business. They should sell cookbooks. The Royal Dutch. Royal Dutch could be the cookbook. You bring it into your house, you cook the books. That's all people are going to have to eat after these corporate occupiers get through with us. We're going to be making, you know, like we said in the show last week, in Germany, they got a book out there to teach people how to make soup out of dandelions and other weeds. Things are so bad there due to the corporate occupation. Now you're going to be kicking the books from Royal Dutch Shell. You take their annual statement in the 10Q, you make a nice soup. That will sustain you during this corporate occupation. Stacey.
You're on a roll. You're on a roll.
I'm a roll. Eat me.
I'm actually quite hungry.
Are you?
You
know, our local boulangerie was closed because of this freaking holiday.
Yeah, everybody's closed. That's why I'm convinced nobody's listening to us.
Well,
usually we have two.
Usually it's you and I.
Yeah, but we have two listeners. I can see our monitor.
Really?
I see we have two listeners.
Where do these boulangeries go during their days off? You know what I'm saying? Like, do they go to the south of France? Do they go, where do they go? They go to Florida? You know what they love? They love to go to a Walmart in New York and buy a loaf of Wonder Bread. These French boulangeries. They get sick of those baguettes. You know what they yearn for? A nice, big, fat Wonder Bread. They sink their teeth into some nice industrial bread. Made in a big industrial factory in New Jersey. And they drink gallons and gallons of Maxwell coffee. Nice industrial American coffee. You know, when you go to Hoboken in New Jersey, you can smell the Maxwell House coffee plant from like 40 miles away. That's what the French people yearn for. So your local boulanger, when he goes on vacation, he goes right to New Jersey, right to Hoboken. Flies right in there, sucks down some of that instant coffee, chomps into some Wonder Bread.
Okay,
get
now
a nice 3 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts.
I think Krispy Kreme donuts might be.
And then watch porno on American cable. That's living. That's the American dream. Porno, donuts, and Wonder Bread.
And instant coffee.
And you know he does? He slathers peanut butter on his wife's breasts. He slathers American peanut butter on his wife's breasts. He puts her in bed. He makes a big peanut butter sandwich. That's the French way. Cacahuète, they call it. Beurre cacahuète. It's French for peanut butter. The beurre cacahuète.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Cacahuète. I like that much better than the way we say it. Peanut butter.
Peanut butter. I got the peanut butter. I peanut butter just sandwich. No, je préfère un beurre cacahuète. Un sandwich. S'il vous plaît, monsieur, un beurre cacahuète sandwich.
How do the Yiddish say it?
How do Yiddish say peanut butter?
Yeah.
They say bagel. Give me a schmear. Give me a schmear and a bagel. Lox and a schmear to go. Hold the capers down there on 2nd Avenue.
They put capers on their
peanut butter. They're chopped liver. They love chopped liver. You know, on 2nd Avenue, they make chopped liver portraits of people, like Frank Sinatra and chopped liver. You can get Betty Boop as a chopped liver statue made from the kosher, gourmets down there on 2nd Avenue in Lower Manhattan. It's a whole, it's like Mount Rushmore of chopped liver. That's what their goal is, to create a Mount Rushmore of chopped liver. Full scale. This is the goal.
Can you hear my stomach growling?
Really? Is this all this chopped liver talk is making you hungry?
I'm hungry.
Really? Well, we got another 15 hours to go with this show before we're going to actually get something to eat. So you better eat a chocolate pan or something. So, yeah, you got Shell. What else does Shell have to say? Shell, the corporate terrorists there. They underestimated the cost. Yeah, okay, they're crooks. When it was approved in 2003, especially given the project's scale, its complexity, and the frontier nature of execution. What are they doing? They're executing people on the frontier? Either they drill for oil or we're going to execute you. Who do they got working there? Bin Laden? Well, that's right. It's Bin Laden, Bush, and Blair. They're working on this oil thing, this oil project. They put the executions on TV, and they sell those on the internet for $20 a pop.
Where is this thing? Up near Siberia or near Chechnya?
Yeah, it's off the east coast of Russia. That's all they say.
Isn't that where all those people showed up, the contractors? Remember a few years ago, those contractors' heads showed up on some poles outside of them?
Those were pole dancers.
No.
Oh, those are contractors?
Those are some guys from Britain. Yeah. Their heads ended up on some poles outside of town.
That's the cost of doing business, you know? That's the cost of doing business. You go up there and you do business with this corporate terrorist, Royal Dutch Shell. You end up with your head on a pole. That's not good. Get on TV, though. Your Google rating skyrockets. at least for a few days. Then you can do a spread bet on your Google rating. Your own Google rating.
Can you?
Yeah, sure. If you get your head on a pole, you can make a bet on yourself. Your Google rating goes higher, cash in.
That has to be one of the most embarrassing ways to go. Because your face, you always see those guys with their heads on the pole, and they look like this.
Yeah. Yeah, they always have that really horrible look on their face. You know, like their eyes are melting out of their head, you know, and their jaws are dropping. You know, all just to make another 20, you know, bucks.
And then, of course,
they were living okay there in Brighton, but they figured, no, I'm going to go to Russia and get this contract for Royal Dutch Shell, going to drill for oil in Russia to make another 20 pounds. It's worth it to get my head on a pole.
And then, of course, that's forever on your Google thing. Images, you press images. It's going to have Max Kaiser, like, with his face all hanging and his eyes gouged out.
Yeah, well, my Google rating will go up, though.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, then they go on to say that the massive cost overrun will hurt the profitability of one of Shell's most important new projects, and it could hit its overall production of oil and gas in 2008. Yeah, as if any of us are going to be around in 2008. Given the current rate of economic collapse and calamity. It also raises questions about whether the company was too optimistic. And other large projects that were approved by previous management ousted last year after the reserves downgrade scandal. So they're still, you know, projected. They're still smoking the fumes of the last management. It was sitting around their office, you know, smoking their belly button lid and coming up with these reserve estimates that proved to be wildly overestimistic. And they're still using that to base their drilling procedure and their 10K, 10Q forecast right now. They haven't even revised their numbers from these guys.
Well, remember yesterday we spoke to Al Jazeera's oil expert, and he was like, nobody can make sense of anything because everybody's lying.
That guy was a wimp.
Yeah.
That guy was definitely wimping out on us. Because we talked to him in London, and he had specific price targets for oil. Now suddenly he's equivocating. Somebody got to him.
Exxon.
He's being held a hostage in eastern Russia right now.
The Exxon mercenaries got to him.
Now check this out, Stacey Herbert. Despite the delay and all this chicanery and all this book cooking, despite all this, Shell stock rose yesterday after the group assured shareholders it still planned to pay back a $13 to $15 billion this year via buybacks, dividends, and free marijuana at board meetings.
Cool. I'm going to buy some. Whoa.
It's free dope at Royal Dutch Shell. Smoke this dope, and you pick any number out of your sphincter, and that's what they're going to make next year. It's a corporate occupation. More with LaFrick Show right after these words.
You're listening to Paris Live Radio. More Paris. More live and more radio.
Well, the Frick Show is on the air once again. Friday, freaking Friday here, the Frick Show on Paris Live Radio with Max and Stacey. All the way until noon. Yeah, we're just looking at the numbers. Audience for this program is exploding. Up 60% over last month. Why? Because people can't get enough of the Frick Show. They love hearing us. They love the truth about markets. They love the Frick Show. They love the reality-based programming based on the Financial Times deconstruction of what's really going on. Follow the money and you'll see who's wagging the which dog for whose profit. The qui bono. Qui bono, my friends. Who's profiting? Who's benefiting? That's what we want to know. Let's take a look at this story, Stacey Herbert. Food study reveals hidden 9 billion pound cost for transport for food. Guess how much the average distance is traveled by car each year to shop for food. Guess at that number.
In the world or UK?
In the UK. I'm getting this from The Guardian, Friday's Guardian. Page 8. Food study reveals hidden 9 billion pound cost for transport. How much does the average distance traveled by the average person by car to shop for food each year?
Each year, 500 miles.
898 miles just to shop for food. The cost of food miles and environmental and social damage, they estimated at 9 billion pounds a year. 9 billion pounds a year, cost of food miles, environmental and social damage. Now, what was happening at G8? The G8 conference, they said that they would give those Africans relief amounting to about $1 billion a year for 10 years. That's just the amount of money that they're wasting driving around to one Walmart, to Asda, to Tesco to get 20 cents off on some loaf of cheap industrial bread. Why don't they just stop shopping at these places? Send the money to Africa. This is where the cradle of civilization is. As we point out on this show, we all come from black mothers and black fathers. You know, if it wasn't for black semen, none of us would be here. That's the reality of the situation. We have to respect our mothers and our fathers and support Africa. Stop shopping at Walmart, Asda, and Tesco. Here's another question for you. The amount of carbon dioxide emitted in UK because of food miles.
Whose phone
Whose
is
cell phone's
ringing? Max Kaiser. Yeah, what kind of...
I got this thing in my headphone.
You're not even...
Renzi, you're not calling me, are you? Sitting on auto dial? What the hell's going on? Stop calling me. You're right here. Why are you calling me? You got it in my headphones? God damn it.
It was because I pointed the chicken bone at him. Exactly. And it's all gone haywire. It's all gone crazy.
You point the bone at you. Aborigine, yeah, you had to be here last week to get the whole Aboriginal bone thing.
I think people understand what it means when you say point the bone.
Well, we're in Pigalle. They might think we're saying pointing the boner at you, which has a whole different connotation up here in Pigalle. Especially in the morning when these guys are half, you know, undressed and they got their willy sticking out there at full attention because, you know, they got the morning wood.
Yeah.
Okay, well. Even though they're drunk, they drank for 18 hours straight, they still got the morning wood. Sticking, they got no zippers because they can't afford new pants.
It's because Pfizer has spiked the water supply here.
Oh, that's right. They got Viagra now in the water.
Yeah.
They got caffeine in the water. They got the Prozac in the water. It's a whole cocktail, a pharmaceutical cocktail right there in the water. You drink the water in this place, you get all screwed up in the head. You go work for Shell Oil, and you start estimating the oil reserves. That's why they keep missing the estimates. They drink the water. They're high on drugs. They smoke dope and they drink the water. Okay, the amount of carbon dioxide emitted in the UK. Put that phone down. I see you're trying to call me. Okay, because of food miles. This is an essential piece of data.
Mm-hmm. How much?
19 million tons of carbon dioxide.
19 million tons.
Per year.
Now, emitted. 1 ton is worth 30 euros.
That's right, in the emissions exchange. Good point.
So
good point.
That is worth about a billion euros.
Well, you know, I would have to check those numbers with my contact over at Shell Oil Company, but that could be correct, you know.
So 19 million tons.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So what's 19 million times 30?
What's 20 times 30? 600. 600 million. 600 million. Who knows? All right, let's go. Let's move on. Total cost of wear on roads caused by food transport. How much does this cost? This is just people because they want to get, you know, there's absolutely no reason for this. Okay, you can have local food, food grown locally. You can eat the food. It's fine. The dirt's just as good as your local backyard as it is in, you know, 5,000 miles away. It's dirt. Dirt is dirt. Okay, you don't need to have a tomato flying in a jet first class to get to your ASDA, do you? Of course not. How much total wear on the roads caused by food transport? How much?
In pounds.
Per year, per pound.
Two billion. I know it has to add up to 9 billion.
You're so cute.
Oh, do I look good in pink?
Yeah. Oh. Okay. 399 million.
Oh, I way overestimated. Yeah, I should go work for Shell.
You should go work for Shell. You could become a high-ranking executive over there. How much oil got in the ground? Oh, I don't know. Stacy thinks it's 5 billion barrels. Yeah, okay, we'll go with that. Yeah, my bonus is worth that much then. Yeah. All right, kilowatt hours of electricity, the average energy required to produce a chicken ready meal. The chicken ready meal.
We're not allowed to talk about chickens on this show.
Why not?
Since the chicken bone situation.
Oh, the bone situation? We're moving on from the bone, okay? Let's just focus on what we're talking about.
So how many kilowatts it takes?
How many kilowatt hours of electricity, the average energy required to produce a chicken ready meal? Now, chicken ready meal is one of those things you take out of the freezer and you pop in your microwave and then you cram it down your throat and 20 minutes later you're defecating it out into the water supply and then they can't afford to recycle water anymore. The cost is so high, so you end up drinking your own poo from the chicken and the ready meal that you microwave that you bought at the store that costs so much money on the food miles. How much? Give me a number.
17.
No.
Did I wildly?
That would be incorrect. First of all, what the hell is a kilowatt hour? You know, who knows? We're moving on from the chicken ready meals.
That's why I was confused. I didn't know what the hell kilowatts was.
What percentage of fruit, half of all vegetables consumed in the UK come from abroad? Okay, what percentage of fruit and vegetables consumed in the UK come from outside of the UK?
70%.
95%.
Whoa, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that's the point of what we're trying to get at here. It's ridiculous.
Because it's such a moderate climate, it never gets too hot or too cold.
Yeah, well, thanks to global warming, because there's such idiots down in the city and they're contributing to the nightmarish scenario, they're going to have more temperate weather to grow more exotic fruits. You don't have to import all this fruit. It's a self-defeating negative loop. You would know if you read the Shell annual report. They got a picture, actually, in the back page in the footnotes. They got a guy smoking a big spliff. They're like, check out this guy. This is our accountant, Jamaica Bob. Panama Red is our accountant this year. All righty. How many animals were imported into the UK in 2002?
10 million.
5 million. Now, here's the final question.
Okay.
And then I think we're going to have to, you know, can we get this thing to flash? Because flash is every 5 minutes. It's very confusing. Maybe make it flash in 2 minutes or 1 minute. I got epilepsy.
Epilepsy.
I got epilepsy. All right, less energy is used to import tomatoes from Spain than to grow them out of season in the UK. All right, that's a little factoid. So about tomatoes.
Okay.
You weren't clear about the whole tomato thing. So anyway, this is in The Guardian. They're talking about food miles and the fact that, you know, you spend a lot of carbon bringing in this food and it's killing us. Food miles have risen dramatically over the past 10 years. They're still rising. They've got a significant impact on climate change, traffic congestion, accidents, pollution. According to the Department of Environment, Food, and Rural Affairs, food miles increased 15% in the 10 years of 2002. The average distance we now drive to shop for food each year, blah, 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 dramatic increase, CO2. What are we going to do about it? We got to start growing our own. We got to branch out from pot. We got to start growing our own tomatoes, zucchini, We gotta raise our own livestock. We gotta get sheep, chicken, lambs. Okay, we mentioned chicken again, even though it's been contraband chicken words into the show. We gotta start growing it all in our backyards. We gotta branch out. We just can't grow drugs anymore.
Yeah, but also Britain is obsessed with speculating on property. So I think having cows in the backyard kind of decreases, you know, the value of your home.
Well, that's an interesting point, because in France they have the same problem. In rural France, the farms are being taken over by speculators.
And British speculators.
Yeah, British people are taking over these farms. French people are taking over these farms, and they're, you know, they're killing the farms and to do speculating in the real estate market, which is a fake market, as we've been talking about. The real estate market is a fake market. It's driven by artificially low interest rates. It's a bubble. It's not going to last. Food is here forever. We need food. We need food this year. We need food in 10 years. We need food in 100 years. Speculating in real estate, that's going to be when the bubble pops, baby. That's all over with. There's no more. That was a one-term wonder. But we still got to eat. So you got the price of your living accommodation skyrocketing. Plus, since all your food is now covered over with asphalt, you got to import it from Tahiti. You got to pay £47 for, you know, a leaky nut, whatever you call it, the pineapple, the coconut.
Yeah, but all those places.
Inflation. It's inflationary.
And all those places are being washed away by hurricanes caused by the carbon emissions created in order to transport our food.
You see, it's a negative vicious loop. That's the corporate occupation I was referring to at the top of the show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, on the weather report, which comes up, you know, before too long, we're going to be covering the latest hurricane. Just give us a preview of that. The latest hurricane will be. Do they have a name for the latest hurricane?
Emily.
Still Emily.
She's not disappointed us. She's turned nasty.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the woman she is.
Yes. Yes. Remember yesterday you were like, oh, she's boring. She's too weak. She's only like a category one.
Mm-hmm. Where's she now?
4.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what, 150 mile an hour winds?
Yeah.
Heading for Florida?
131 miles right now.
131 miles an hour wind.
She's heading for Texas, actually.
Oh, good. That's even more fun.
But they can't
Crawford,
say for
Texas?
Sure. They can't say for sure because, you know, that's like 3 or 4 days in advance, and she could do anything.
Right, right.
In that meantime.
This seems to always skip over Cuba for some reason.
No, they hit. Dennis hit Cuba.
Oh, did he? Wow. Price of cigars are going up. Now I'm upset. Now I'm really upset. Not my cigars. More of the Frick Show right after these words. Don't go away.
Don't touch that dial or I'll bite you. You're listening to Paris Live Radio.
More of what you're frickin' for. Le Frick Show, Paris Live Radio. Woo! Woo!
You're pinging red there. You're pinging red, honey.
Oh, yeah. I got some ping for you. Yeah! Oh! How's that? Is it pinging now?
No.
All right, let's open this whole thing up. We got some very distinguished guests in the studio this morning. We got some dude in a shirt and tie wandered in off the street. We got a visitor all the way from Los Angeles, where this is an important story.
It's part of our weather report.
Weather report, maybe. How do you know? I haven't talked about it yet. You got psychic abilities. You're reading my mind.
I brought him in for the weather report.
Okay, well, that's for the weather report. And we got this story. This is an interesting story. It touches on many nerves in the global nervosphere. You know, that's basically where we live in now, is that this internet mixed with the brain and our imaginations plugging in simultaneously globally, the tentacles of the nerve endings are actually extended electronically into this giant nervosphere. You see, when I, you know, burp, it's like that old thing about the butterfly flapping its wings and causing like a hurricane somewhere else. This is what actually is happening now due to the global nervosphere, that our minds are connected to the central database and connected to everyone else's minds. So when a thought happens in Peking, it can affect my thought in New York or Paris or London. It's the memosphere. It's the nervosphere. We live in one twitchy, nervy, kind of shaky environment now where everyone's got the shakes. You look around London. They got the shakes. In New York, oh, they got the shakes. Everyone's got the shakes because they're all strung out. They're nervous. They're looking over their shoulder. Everyone's a potential suicide bomber. What we say in this show, of course, is that if you want to look at a suicide bomber, look in the mirror. Okay? You're supporting Exxon. You're supporting Microsoft. You're supporting Coca-Cola. These companies are part of the corporate occupation. They're killing us. You support them, you're killing yourself. All right. Let's get on to this other story. All right?
Okay.
Senator Hillary Clinton. Okay.
Oh, yeah. She's back in the
Senator
news.
Senator Hillary Clinton. Senator.
What are the right-wing nutcases saying now?
Okay. She seeks an inquiry on the video game. This is a video game situation that's brewing. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton is calling on the U.S. regulators to investigate the latest version of the Grand Theft Auto, a popular video game that allows players to go on simulated crime sprees. They're part of the nervosphere I just spoke about. All these guys are all connected through the nervosphere, and they've got the little twitch. They've got their hands on the mouse. They're twitching. They're twitching. They're twitching each other. Okay? It's not just porno. It's life. In a letter to the Federal Trade Commission, Clinton, a New York Democrat, expressed concern over reports that anyone using a free code downloaded from the Internet could unlock sexually graphic images hidden inside the game called Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Clinton asked the commission to determine the source of this content, especially since the game can fall into the hands of young people. Rockstar Games, the maker of Grand Theft Auto video game, said that hackers, independent programmers, created the code that allowed players of the recent Grand Theft game to make its characters engage in sex. All right, now, we got a special guest here from Los Angeles. First of all, is it possible for Rockstar Games to be unaware or to claim that the disrobement and sexual proclivities of their avatars in this game could happen spontaneously from outside? Isn't it true that this, the ability to have this happen had to be coded in there from the beginning?
It had to be there. Yeah.
Okay, so that's false. So Rockstar Games is making a false statement. They're making a false statement here by claiming that hackers penetrated their cyberspace and they made it possible for the code writers to have the characters engage in sex. The code was already embedded in the game, yes or no?
Yes, definitely had to be in there.
So Rockstar Games is committing a crime. I mean, that's, I think, why Senator Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
thank
anime,
you, expert. Thank you, expert.
Putting little scenes in, like Disney animators used to put little images and little single frames of odd things. It's just, it's a something that's been going on for years.
That's right. This has been going on for years. It goes on, for example, in code writers who release programs, even in mundane programs like word processing programs. They put in little keystrokes that they communicate to each other, and you hit the keystroke, and it'll say, "Hi, this is Bob. I wrote this piece of the code. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Mom."
So it's like the wingdings in Microsoft. When you type them across the keyboard, it says kill all the people, whatever that works.
Yeah, right. Yeah, thanks. The wingdings. It's the winged. In other words, it's the ability for code writers. Wow, the oxygen just got sucked out of this room. I got to pump it back up. Yeah, baby. All right, so in other words, these code writers who are working for this group, Rockstar Games, they put in this code. They tell their hacker buddies outside in the gamosphere how to access the code. You hit the button, you hit the right sequence of keys, and the characters in this game get undressed and then start shtupping each other.
Yeah, but they already did this. The shtupping in the game was there already, but the door was closed and you just heard it.
Okay.
So oh, it was there that's interesting. Already. I didn't know that.
Yeah, in other words, you went into the room and then you went at the door.
Right.
And you went in and the door shut and the activity happened behind the door.
Okay.
So it was there. It's built into the game.
So it's like a PG. It's a PG version. And then when you add in this keystroke, it becomes the triple X rated version.
Yeah. But you could murder and shoot people in the game. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, that's a uniquely American phenomenon, which Stanley Kubrick famous said that you could show women getting their breasts sliced off, but you can't just show naked breasts in America. Do you remember him saying that? You're giving me that dull
yes.
kind of fish shark stuck on the pier look. Kind of like just having been pulled
save
out of
that call for later.
Yeah, we're saving that call for later. So anyway, so Hillary Rodham Clinton, Senator Clinton, who's, you know, she's taking this whole business to court because apparently these game makers are feeding the violence of the youth out there in the nervosphere, and they're feeding the hormonal imbalances by displaying this graphic sex Much more on this later. Let's get into the weather report.
That music is perfect for our Californian guest here. That's called Relaxation Treatment Spa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Hurricane Emily, she's about to hit Jamaica this evening. So get out your ganja and get ready for it. Just chill, man. Anyway, this is the weather report. Whether or not you here in France want the Anglo-Saxon American business model, just listen to this man's cough. That guy's from Los Angeles. You don't want Krispy Kreme donuts. You don't want polluted air. You don't want Wonder Bread. You don't want processed fake coffee. You don't want to sound like this man.
Coughing.
You don't want to sound like this man. Cough one more time.
Hey, let me grab his nuts. Now cough. He seems healthy to me. Better, let's examine his prostate. Bend
it's only,
over.
It's only a day here. It'll clear up soon.
That's what happens when you adopt the American business model.
Yeah.
You sound like this man.
That's right.
You should see what he looks like. Actually, I'm going to download a photo onto our podcast tonight. You're going to see, you're going to say, you're going to be storming the Bastille for real. Like, I didn't see anybody storming it last night, no. But if you realize what's about to happen to you.
Hmm. Well, thank
just
you.
Just
thank
say
you.
No.
Thank you, Weather Girl.
Yes, yeah, the Hack and Spew Report, brought to you by Hack and Spew.
Hack and Spew. Well, it's 10:39 in the morning, La Frick Show, Paris Live Radio with Max and Stacey and special mystery guest. Well, I got to finish up on this Grand Theft Auto story.
Okay.
I got to get more.
Yeah, because
into
it's been working so well.
Yeah, it's been, it's like a rocket ship. Once we got hold of this story, this show's gone into the stratosphere. It's orbiting planet Venus right now. You know, people are just looking at it saying, my God, how do I get into that thing? That thing's fantastic. Anyway, so the code involving Grand Theft Auto allows the game's male protagonist to have sex with the various girls he meets in the game. It requires downloading the program from the internet. Responding to Clinton, Rodney Walker, a rock star spokesman, said, "We support any effort to empower parents to control what their kids consume, but we also want to strike a balance so that the average video game player, who is not a child, can whack off with reckless abandon while he's killing people in our game." The only problem we've had so far is scraping the jizz off the plasma screen. Patricia Vance, who likes to masturbate while watching this game, president of the Entertainment Software Rating Board, defended the industry's rating system, saying, "I like seeing black guys having sex and stealing cars." Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. "I grew up in San Andreas. I know these guys. They are well hung." The game has a rating for M. For masturbation, I guess. It's for mature. Ages 17 and older, with five content descriptors. Intense violence. Okay, that sounds like Fallujah. Blood and gore. It sounds like Fallujah. Strong sexual content. Strong language. And use of drugs. This just sounds like an Al-Qaeda training manual. What is this? This is a game, right? This is a game being sold to kids. And they're teaching these kids about intense violence. Why do these kids need to learn about intense violence? Blood and gore / shock and awe. Strong sexual content, strong language, and use of drugs. Well, of course, Hillary Clinton, because she's a woman and women are pilloried in American society, of course, this won't gain much traction because she dares to have breasts. So she'll be marginalized on this issue. The violence will continue. Sexual content will continue.
Yeah. Well, but I think she's doing that to appeal to the evangelicals. Remember the gentlechristianmothers.com. They link to Karma Bank.
Really?
The Gentle Christian Mothers. I see. So this is a ploy to show that Hillary is tough on
bestiality.
Plasma screen jizz pollution.
Yes.
She's tough on violence. She's tough on this assault on family values.
But she know, well, yeah. But she knows we need to train young men to go fight foreigners for us.
Operate the drones.
Yeah.
To go over to Iraq and kill people.
Yeah. So you want them to actually be watching.
Two bonuses. You get to appease the Christian right,
mm-hmm.
which they think they're fighting the 10th Crusade.
Yeah.
And the only good Iraqi is a dead Iraqi. Yeah. That's their motto. Yeah. It's inscribbled on their foreheads right before they go out and blow up some government building.
Yeah, sure.
Or, you know, we got to talk about Columbine again because you made a very good point yesterday about Columbine.
Yeah. Well, we only have 1 minute, so we're going to talk about Columbine after this. Yeah. As it relates to the London bombings.
Yeah, as it relates to the London bombings, exactly. You know, the London bombings, 50, 60 white people are dead. It's a moment of silence. The city goes into paroxysms of grief and tears.
And how do we stop this evil ideology of Muslims? Like,
they start crying. They think Diana died again. She only died once. You can't die twice.
Well, Diana. What happened in Columbine? Like, what? That was an ideology. What? You know, American kids blow each other away and then kill themselves. That's a suicide bombing just because they don't strap explosives to themselves, just because they strap Uzis to themselves and like gun down teachers, classmates, friends, parents. It's acceptable. There's no, what is this evil ideology brewing in America where our young teens need to blow each other away?
It's suicide. Suicide bombing.
It's a suicide bombing.
With kids in America.
Of course it is.
Okay, you got suicide bombing in London. You got suicide bombing in Iraq. You got suicide bombing in Palestine. You got suicide bombing in Israel. Who's responsible? It's corporate occupation. You got these games like San Andreas that are teaching kids. It tells you right there. They give you the five ways, the five bloody fingers of death. Right here. Intense violence, blood and gore, strong sexual content, strong language, and use of drugs.
Well, you can't adopt the American business model without taking all the consequences, which are teenage kids blowing each other up.
Yeah.
It's obesity.
Yeah.
It's, we'll get back to it.
San Andreas, the game?
Yeah, I was trying to think of the name.
Let me tell you something about those bombs in London. It's the cost of doing business. 9/11, the cost of doing business. The bombs that are coming in Las Vegas, cost of doing business. More of the Frick Show right after this.
Paris Live Radio.
It's one nation on the groove. It's a big family.
Yeah, this is Le Frick Show with Max and Stacy. We do this every morning at this time. As you probably are aware if you're listening to this show. Now, we're deep in the throes of a major breaking story, as we always are. Many stories. You know, yesterday Blair said we got to uproot this ideology of evil. That's what he said. Now, talk about evil for a second. Talking Iraqi civilians and police officers are being killed by insurgents at a rate of more than 800 a month, one an hour, which is a direct result of an illegal invasion in that country by two superpowers trying to pick on a little power.
How many are being killed by America every hour?
Well, you know, you got to. They created the conditions for all this killing to happen, didn't they? It's a lot worse now than it was under Saddam. Saddam looks like a genius compared to Rumsfeld, as far as a military tactician. Rumsfeld looks like he's got his head up his ass compared to Saddam. At least there was the amount of murders and slaughters were a lot less than under him. Plus, they were shipping oil. They say they got shipping oil, and they kept bringing the murders down to kind of a dull roar. Now the U.S. is in there. They don't ship oil anymore, and the murders are up. Who's running the books there, Shell? Oh, that's right. Shell is running the books over there. Plus, all the oil is all screwed up. They got sand in the oil because they're blowing all these craters and bombs, and the sand is seeping into the oil. It's unusable. So the price of oil is skyrocketing. Who benefits? Cui bono? Oh, Shell. You know, how does Shell lose? They totally overestimate the cost. They underestimate the reserves. They got a free pass to blow people up in Iraq. They steal all their oil. They don't pay any environmental costs. How do they lose? How do you lose in that situation? That's not free market. That's nuts. This is what's guiding the invisible hand of Adam Smith. My ass, this is quite visible. It's visible tyranny. Homicide. Blair needs to look at what's really going on here. The corporations in that country, in the U.S., causing a lot of problems. Now, as we try to accommodate the health concerns of our listeners, we should mention that there are fresh fears raised about aspartame. Manufacturers dispute the study into lab rats, fed the sweetener. But nevertheless, there is a growing body of evidence to suggest that aspartame, the sugar substitute, causes brain rot. It causes you to download illegal code and watch San Andreas video games and watch big buxom boobs fornicating on the highways and freeways of Los Angeles. The 405 and the 101. Big buxom babes fornicating. Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas. That's what happens when you get too much aspartame. That's why these kids write this code. They're all high on aspartame. It's just a pure chemical. They snort it. Have you ever snorted aspartame?
I've had aspartame once or twice.
Okay. Was it as a suppository?
No.
How did you take your aspartame? Under your tongue? You smoked it? Did you smoke your aspartame? This is what they're doing now in the Midwest. They're not doing the methamphetamine anymore. Mm. The methamphetamine labs, that's the old school. Now they're cooking up some aspartame.
They do serve it in those little, like, you know, just like cocaine. In the little...
Bindles.
Not that I would know, you know, but they serve it in a little
piece of paper. What I've seen on TV.
Paper. Yeah, little paper envelope, little tiny thing.
You know? I think they call that a bindle.
A bindle.
So you get a bindle of aspartame.
Uh-huh.
You crack it open.
Uh-huh.
You get your lighter out. And you chase the dragon. You chase the dragon of aspartame. You get high on this fake sugar.
You get it for free at Denny's, IHOP.
Isn't that the same thing?
You just take it from the little, you know, you eat your loaf, you know, your stack of pancakes.
They come in the little blue packs or the pink packs. You know, they got brand new Sweet and Low. That's the good one.
The pink pack. That's aspartame.
Yeah, that's Sweet and Low.
Yeah.
That's the good one.
Yeah.
You put a little tin foil. You put that on the tin foil. Put a lighter underneath there with a straw. You chase the aspartame dragon. You get totally high. It's better than glue.
And you lose weight.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The benefits are multifold. Now, the European Food Safety Authority is reviewing, as a matter of high priority, this means that they're going to cut their lunch break by half an hour. Instead of having a three-hour lunch, they're going to have a two-and-a-half-hour lunch. This is what Europeans mean by high priority.
Mm-hmm.
The results of a large new study into aspartame, the artificial sweetener consumed by millions of people who are strung out on San Andreas default. San Andreas default. Those two things are in your mind, isn't it? San Andreas and the fault of the earthquake thing. The fault line.
Yeah.
San Andreas fault. You know what I'm saying? I can't get those out of my mind. They're welded together.
It's hard to.
What's the name of this goddamn game? I can't remember now. What's it called? Killing people? Fornicating bimbos on the highway? What's the name of this
Grand
game?
Grand Theft Auto.
San Andreas. It's Grand Theft Auto. All right. We got the aspartame here. What are they saying here? The results of a large new study. The researchers at the Razzmatazz Institute. What the hell is this?
This is the state of education in America.
The Razzmatazz Institute for Cancer Research in Italy say...
Oh, it's Italy.
Oh, no wonder it's got that funny name. Their study shows that aspartame causes lymphomas. Oh, that's bad.
Oh, that's really seriously bad. That's bad cancer, man.
And leukemia in female laboratory animals, like those bimbos who they get jacked up on San Andreas the game. Grand Theft Auto. Grand boob auto.
Yeah.
As does very close to the acceptable daily intake for humans. That dose is very close to the... Yeah, well, there's no acceptable intake for humans. It's pure crap. The authors of the study also say that while rats fed aspartame ate less food, there was no difference in body weight between the treated and untreated animals. Is this what Kate Moss is on? Is that how she got into that size 4 dress?
No, I think she's on something from Afghanistan.
Is she into something a little bit more stronger than that? Aspartame?
Yeah. She's really into the natural stuff. She's organic.
Oh,
totally.
Yeah. Organic stuff. One of the largest manufacturers of aspartame, the Japanese multinational Ajinomoto, said the allegations made by the Italian study were, quote, not consistent with the extensive body of scientific research that we bought and paid for last year as part of a massive insider trading scandal that was exposed by Fujango Times. Not consistent with the extensive body of scientific research which already exists on aspartame. It's just more scientific book cooking. That's all it is. It questioned the methods used in the record of the Institute. It pointed to 4 previous studies into the carcinogenicity of aspartame that had found no relationship between aspartame and any form of cancer. It added that aspartame broke down in the body into the building blocks for pharmaceutical quality cocaine. Building blocks of protein that occur widely in the rest of food that also help people reduce their caloric intake. This contribution to cutting obesity helped to prevent cancer. Okay, so they're making a connection between obesity and cancer. They're saying obesity
Ooh.
Causes cancer.
Ooh. This is, I see corporate warfare coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, according to these Japanese scientists. They say, don't come after us with this aspartame. Uh-huh. Don't come after us, even though giving these rats huge breasts, huge cancer-ridden breasts, and five tails, nine eyeballs, because they eat too much aspartame. Don't come after us for that. That's normal. That's what God wanted. I saw it in the Bible. I was in Tahoe, and they said, I read the Bible, and rats should have nine eyeballs. So aspartame was good. That's what the evangelicals told me. Since they run the White House, and the White House got all the bombs, we're going to go with that. The White House got all the bombs. The evangelicals are in the White House. They say rats should have nine eyeballs. Aspartame gives them nine eyeballs. It's a good thing. But then they go on to say that obesity causes cancer. Now, let's refer back to Le Frick Show flashback. Woo, woo, woo! To yesterday's show. Soft drinks should carry health warnings. It says right here that Coca-Cola, which causes obesity, should carry health warnings. So the Japanese are concurring the fact that sugary, fuzzy drinks should carry health warnings, according to the Japanese scientists. They've proven the fact that obesity causes cancer. Therefore, sugar is a health hazard. Therefore, Coca-Cola is a mass murderer. Coca-Cola equals mass murder. Corporations equal mass murder. Corporations in Iraq equal mass murder. Corporations in the White House and number 10 Downing Street equal mass murder. What are we going to do about it? That's what we ask on this show, Le Frick Show, the Karma Bank Show. What are we going to do about it? You're going to sit there and just be a consumer for some fake Jesus on your windshield wiper that's going, hi, have a nice day. Let's go to Disney World and kill each other. It's all suicide bombing. It's corporate occupation. Health warning on consumer products like Coca-Cola. Of course, they should get a little stronger in their wording because they say the suggested warnings were, quote, to help protect your waistline and your teeth, consider switching to diet sodas or water. How about just two fat Americans trying to have sex? That'll put people off on drinking the sugary stuff. Yeah, more Le Frick Show right after these words from our soon-to-be-gone sponsors. All right, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. This is Le Frick Show. 1 hour down, only 1 hour to go.
Are you glad you came to visit us?
Yeah.
All the way from Los Angeles. When's the next weather report?
I've got 38 minutes.
Really?
That's my allotted time that I'm allowed to speak.
Oh, God. Then what are we going to follow up on Emily again?
I do have a Floridian story.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Our friend from Los Angeles, did you hear about this DreamWorks insider trading scandal?
Why, no.
All right, we can cover this again. This is a good one. This would be the first time we've covered the same story in for 3 days.
Actually,
days in a row.
Do you want to cover that, or do you want to hear my Floridian story?
Yeah, let's hear your Floridian story.
Okay, it's actually quite funny because it's a 4th of July story that's just come to light.
Yeah.
So apparently in Deerfield Beach, Florida, they had, you know, some 4th of July celebrations. And when they did the God Bless America song,
mm-hmm.
the city officials had mixed it with 911 phone calls from 9/11.
Oh my God.
So they suddenly heard God Bless America, and then a voice in the mix said, "Oh my God, another plane has just hit." So 70,000 people were at this thing, right? And they got loads of complaints. One woman says, everybody was in a really good mood, and all of a sudden, this cloud of doom, it just seemed totally inappropriate. So city officials have had to apologize, and the guy says, well, you know, we're sorry, but, you know, if it was Memorial Day, nobody would have minded.
Yeah, right.
So,
so they're cutting the Star Spangled Banner and the other propaganda song. What is it? God Bless America?
Yeah, God Bless America.
God hates America. Let me tell you this. It's proven. You can see that happening in Florida. He's like, yo, America, you think you're tough? How about another hurricane? Yeah, I'll see how you handle that, America.
I guess maybe these city officials were being quite subversive. God Bless America. Oh, my God, another plane is just it. Thanks, God.
Catherine Harris. Get a bit of hurricane up her little cute little sphincter from God. Because God hates Catherine Harris. God hates Florida.
Jeb Bush surely likes her.
God hates America. I mean, it would make sense if it said, God hates America. Then he played the 911 thing. That the context makes sense then.
Yeah.
You see, it says, here's the cause, here's the effect. God hates America. These people are dying. Okay? God hates the fact that America is the biggest corporate polluter in the world. 28% of all the garbage produced in the world comes from 4.5% of the world's population. You think God likes that? This is God's creation. And you're defecating all over it for a few shekels. You think God likes that? No, he doesn't. What does God have in his little quiver of arrows to throw at you, my friends in America? Well, how about hurricanes? How about earthquakes? How about mudslides? Huh? That's what's happening. Because if you destroy the delicate balance between the carbon and the oxygen and the soil and the winds and what the thing that God did, it all gets unraveled, doesn't it? You are tempting fate. You're tempting fate. Fate is answering back. This is what's happening. This is what's happening in Florida.
See, that's what's happening in America. You hear that hacking?
This poor hacker.
You don't hear Max and I.
Now let me extend this a little bit because, as luck would have it, the next little piece of paper in my hand, you know, is a brilliant segue into what I'm talking about here. The White House makes an offer to extend terror risk insurance. Now, terror risk insurance is the ability for corporations to buy their way out of the fact that they're causing the conditions that lead to terrorism. So the corporation who is extracting all the equity from the system, from the global economy, destroying the environment, and booking that as profit, they then have to deal with the consequences. But under the terror insurance premium that they're paying, they don't have to deal with the consequences. So if a terrorist thing happens, so-called terrorism happens, the insurance company pays. Since the insurance companies are near bankruptcy and they're about to go out of business, who's going to end up paying? The taxpayer. So the taxpayer has to pay for the corporate irresponsibility one way or another. The fact that they're delaying this by putting in this fake insurance product, a product that, as Warren Buffett has called it, a weapon of mass financial destruction. It's another derivative product. It's derived on the underlying asset of planet Earth, for which has been sold forward many, many, many times over already. You can't keep using planet Earth as collateral for this type of insurance because you would need... Already, it's been estimated for planet Earth to pay for all the insurance that's been written to underwrite all these acts. So this doesn't add up. So you got this guy, John Crackhead Snow, the Treasury Secretary. He told senators yesterday that the administration would support an extension of the terror insurance on the condition that coverage would be triggered only in the event of, depending on the size of the event. So he's saying that the so-called Terrorist Act has to blow up at least 415 million euros worth of stuff before this insurance triggers. So naturally, what's the incentive then for the Bush, Bin Laden, Blair axis? Is to make sure that the next event triggers the insurance payout of at least 415 million euros. Okay? That's why we on this show, I'll tell you why. This supports my theory that the next domestic act of boom boom visitation is going to be in Las Vegas. Because this is where he can very cheaply trigger a 415 million euro piece of damage to trigger the insurance so you don't have to pay for it. You can't do it in the middle of Iowa. We're going to blow up 415 million euros worth of corn? No, you got to go into a commercial center. So that leaves, you know, your list is cut down immediately. Chicago, New York, L.A., you're not really, because it's too spread out. It's too sprawling. You know, what do you get? If you blow up... if you blow up the Universal theme park and you think anyone would even notice, they'd be like, oh, that was definitely worth my $10. Wow, look at that, mommy. Everyone got blown up, for real. Wow, that's cool. You think anyone would even care?
No.
That leaves Las Vegas. You got an incredible environmental disaster going on there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're tempting fate by sucking the entire area clean of any water, of any hopes of water for 200 years, 300 years of water. They've already sucked it bone dry.
And, of course, the rich people in D.C., they don't care about the white trash going there.
The evangelicals.
Like, we need to get rid of some of them.
That's right. The evangelicals will say, these people are sinning. You know, it's legal prostitution.
Mm.
That's the only legal prostitution in America. It's a monopoly in prostitution in America.
Yeah.
It's in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're calling for Vegas. Hurrah stock. Is a great short sale. Make a bet against Hurrah stock. It's trading at how many times earnings? Something like some astronomical.
26.
It's a pretty high number.
Yes, exactly.
These stocks are moving up because of the ability for the insiders to manipulate the lawmakers to make prostitution and all these other things legal in Las Vegas and to not have to pay for the environmental consequences of their behavior in Las Vegas. Stocks are very high. You got now this terror insurance that says unless it's a 415 million euro piece of business, we don't get the payout. So that leaves that the Bin Laden, Bush axis, Blair, the three Bs, the killer Bs, since they all work together and they're all bilking the system for insider cash, they're all market manipulators, just like the guys at DreamWorks allegedly are trading inside information to bilk the stock market, allegedly. Allegedly. Got to be careful because, you know, I want to sell a screenplay someday. Another screenplay. No, I never sold a screenplay.
You did sell, kind of.
I sold a treatment.
You sold a treatment to Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, but that was like in the 80s or the 90s.
And now there's a movie coming out about you.
Is there? Oh, that's right, in the UK. A documentary. There's a documentary filmmaker making a movie about us. So anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, Las Vegas. So Las Vegas, you know, this is the place to go. You make a bet against Harrah's, the gambling casino stock.
Mm-hmm.
This fake terrorist bomb thing will happen there, I predict, based on my understanding of markets. It has nothing to do with ideology, politics. It's just pure markets. Based on my understanding of how markets flow, how money flows, how you create the conditions.
Yeah.
The dog wagging the dog. We talked about this yesterday. The dog wagging the dog.
Plus, of course, you know, they've just built Wynn's in
Vegas.
They're
blowing Wynn. They're passing Wynn. What? What's going on there? Steve Wynn?
Yeah, no, that big new hotel, which is the most expensive in the world, apparently. Mm. So now they know for sure that they won't get any rich people accidentally because they're all going to be at Wynn's. So they're going to go to the poor people places.
Oh, yeah. The low rent spots. Well, you know, all right, so that's a good bet for you. That's a money tip. Go short Harrah's and wait for the Bin Laden, Bush, Blair axis of nincompoops.
You know, if it happens, we're going to be visited by some guys with dark glasses.
You know who will come and visit us? J.P. Morgan, Oppenheimer,
Citigroup. They'll hire us.
They'll hire us. They'll say, you know what? You got to come work for our trading desk, our arbitrage desk. We got to get some more of this stuff because we're losing out to the competition.
John Poindexter.
You don't think Bin Laden advises hedge funds? Well, you gotta be playing, Grand Theft Auto, smoking crack. If you don't think Bin Laden is advising hedge funds at this point, that's why they can't find him. They're making too much money from this guy. He's the golden goose. They just follow him. They make the bets. As we've said on the show many times, there were the negative bets against the airlines and insurance companies before 9/11. There was the speculation in the oil futures market before the bus bombings last week. When the bus bombs went off, 8,000 retail investors were buying the FTSE on the dip. Because now in this new fakakta world, terrorism equals market appreciation. So you're buying the dip. When there's a bomb, you're buying the dip. You make instant money. They got people in the UK. They're on the street crying. They're on the street figuring out what neighbor to blow up to make a few extra bucks. Okay? They're not crying. They're not. They're weasels. It's an axis of weasels. You got all these British people in Trafalgar Square crying their eyes out. You know, half of them are making tons of money speculating on the next attack. You know, their real estates are going to go in the crapper because of the bubbles about to explode in the UK and Britain. They got to come up with an alternative source of income so they can keep their drug addicted, addled ways to the cheap products from Tesco, and they got to keep buying their various faux consumer luxury goods. Not at Tesco, but they suck down the high price cocktails at these various insider clubs where they rub bubbles with other financial terrorists. But they got to keep that lifestyle going. They got to keep the money flowing. Which means, hey, my neighbor, if he's worth it to me, make a spread bet against him, I'll take the money. It's dog-eat-dog world. It's competition. It's social Darwinism. You know, let the fit survive. In America, of course, the saying is let the fattest survive. Survival of the fattest. But they're trying to do a little quirk on the whole Darwinian thing. I don't think that's going to work, though. Because you get so fat, you can't mate. Your willies, they don't meet. The genitalia gets lost in all the rolls of fat. So how are you going to procreate? If you can't get the willy, the genitalia, and the thing, the zygote is lost.
Technology. Technology will help us.
The technology is not going to help us in this case. Artificial insemination. I think they should just flood all the sperm banks of the world with black sperm. This way, return humanity to its roots. Da, 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 da. Roots. Remember that?
Yeah.
Miniseries?
I love that Kinte? Series. Yeah.
A lot of white people love that show because they realize that's their Mac Daddy. That's their daddy talking. It's like, yeah, that's my daddy. A lot of white women. A lot of white women are saying, yeah, I like some of that black stuff.
Okay, I think you're deranged.
You think so?
Yeah.
I've hit the deranged. How's the deranged meter doing? Am I peaking? Am I pinging on the derangement meter?
Yeah.
My voice is low, but I'm peaking on the derangement meter. Hello, honey? Are you there? Hello, Stacy?
Hello, Stacy?
You left me hanging. You put me in a bubble. I'm a boy in the bubble. I'm in a sonic bubble right now. You set
I think
me
it's
up.
Good drama.
He's talking about derangement. You're not thinking two or three steps ahead. You got a big, fat, juicy word, derangement. It's all rife with possibilities, isn't it?
Oh, really? What would you use it for?
I can't be inside your head. I'm a man. I can't be inside your head. I don't want to go in there. I can never come out. You see, that's the thing about a man. Once he steps into the mind of the female, he's a dead man. It's a house of mirrors in there. You're lost. He's talking about casinos. The casino of the damned. The female mind. There's no exit. It's a roach motel for men. They get in, but they can't get out. That's the thing about love. It's like Velcro. It makes it silently joining together, but when you try to get apart, it makes a lot of noise.
It does.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Love is like Velcro.
That's your tip for Max Kaiser this morning.
That's right. No. Oh, my God. It's time for a commercial. Thank God.
No, it's time for a song as well. I see all it's right. Yves Montand.
Yves Montand, he likes little girls?
Le Fouil Mort.
What is he, a Catholic priest?
The
Dead Back
paper.
With more Le Fric Show right after Yves Montand.
You're listening to Paris Live Radio. More Paris, more live, and more radio.
Yes, Le Fric Show on Paris Live Radio with Max and Stacy. It's 11 and 18 in the morning. We were just talking about CNBC, the financial news network in Europe. It's losing money hand over fist. They're thinking about they're going to lose like 30 million euros. You know, Stacy, the reason I think this is true is because people are moving away from an obsession with finance, and they're becoming more socially aware because their environment is collapsing around them in real time, and they realize that they need to start focusing on something other than making money if they want to really have any kind of quality of life whatsoever. And that's why people love Le Fric Show, because we're talking about quality of life versus speculating on CNBC and all these other exchanges.
You think that's the reason that people are becoming more socially aware?
Well, I think that they're dropping viewers, they're losing viewers, because there's a sea change. Now, people who live in America maybe don't see it happening because they're in that bubble. They see that the right wing, the religious fanatics in America, have captured the White House, and they see that trend continuing on for another 4, 5, 6 years. But the way I see it, living here in Europe, is that the global response to the failure in Iraq by the U.S. and the U.K., is to reassess the entire global situation. We've got the global technologies to do it. We've got the global will to do it, to change the entire structure, systematic paradigm shift, if you will, away from the system and the economics of the past 20, 30, 40, even 100 years that has put us into this precarious position. And that's why I think viewers on CNBC are dropping out and they're starting to listen to Le Fric Show. That's why our audience numbers have jumped dramatically in the past 3 weeks. We've gone from over 47 listeners to now 62 on a percentage basis.
That's a 50% increase.
This is a huge increase, and this reflects the global situation. They're listening on Canal Satellite Channel 118, for example.
Uh-huh.
When they're flicking between porno movies, they listen to Le Fric Show. The news radio channel 32, okay, this is an ISP. When they can't get on the web because it's too slow, because it's some kind of broken Asian technology, they listen to Le Fric Show. You see, they're right in there, in their face with the show. They love us. NC Numericable? I have no idea what that is. I never did know what that was. I probably never knew. What is NC Numericable? What is it?
It's the cable company in Versailles.
It's the smallest cable company in Versailles. They carry the show.
All right. Okay. We should put that on our poster.
If you go to the palace in Versailles and you go down to the basement, in the basement there are a warren of rooms. In one of those rooms, behind a black door with no number, is a computer server. On that server is a telephone line, and through that telephone line, five people in the castle listen to Le Fric Show in the castle of Versailles. And we're over Encina Maricob. Okay? That's five people. If we didn't have Encina Maricob, how much we pay for Encina Maricob? About $10,000 a month? Oh, zero. Okay.
They pay us.
I see. So
let us listen to you.
The price is right,
they
then.
Say.
Well, now the phone number here in the studio, and who are we broadcasting to today? Are we on satellite today or no?
We're on satellite. We're on everything.
We're on everything. We're on the website, too?
Yeah.
With ParisLive.net?
ParisLive.net, ParisLive.fm.
We know that there are no French people listening because they're all on holiday. They've departed.
Well, they're listening in the south.
They're listening in the south of France. If you're French and in the south of France, give us a call on 01-42-54-1659.
That's very good. Thank you.
We'd love to hear a French person.
You know what? Where's my Fusac? Does the phone work? Does the phone work? All right. Where's let's get the phone. I see if I have this Fusac thing.
Hey.
I have it here somewhere. What are we doing weather soon?
I'll do a little story that's just been announced actually in London. Remember you talked about the gold bullion ETFs?
Yeah.
Well, the same company that offered that gold bullion has just announced in London today that they're going to offer an oil ETF on the London Stock Exchange.
Oh,
so
cool.
So you could just bet on the direction of oil.
It's a directional bet on the price of oil.
Without having to. Oh, my God, Renzi.
Renzi, why are you got your
I pointed
head.
The bone at him and look what's happened.
He's in your lap. My God.
He's become very French.
He certainly has. The French are no stranger. All right, you know what? The thing is, where's your Fusac? I thought I had a Fusac. Do you have a Fusac?
Because we've got the phones ready. This is what all that rustling about was. We've got the phone ready. So if you want to call right now, you'll hear the phone ring, actually, live on air.
You can get on the air, but I'm going to make some calls out. Because, you know, in Fusac, which is France, USA contacts, and if you're an expatriate living in France, this is really the Bible. You know, this is where you go to find out about housing and jobs and friendship. Now, there are people who list their phone numbers in Fusac that say they're interested in conversation with Americans to improve their English conversation.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
So we're going to call one of these people up, and we're going to converse with them. This is presumably a French person. And we'll give them a call, and we'll see what they want to talk about. You know, there's a lot of things to talk about in the world today, and Clearly, we can help them do that. Now, because we failed to set this up in any timely manner, I am, what they say in the business, vamping. Why don't you do your weather report while I look for this? What do you got in the weather thing? When is the weather report?
Well, I usually go during the half-hour mark to go look at the website and see what's happening in the weather. Well, basically, the weather is drought.
Story. Here, let me give you a story.
Drought, fire.
Yeah, you look at this one. Give the hand this to Stacey. You like this. Cover that story. Cover that story for a few minutes while I look for this phone number.
Well, I'll actually tell you whether or not you should buy a house in Britain.
All right.
Bovis Homes has become the latest builder in the UK to feel the effects of the sluggish housing market after reporting a 16% drop in sales and a 10% drop in prices in the first half of 2005.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's crashing. It's crashing.
Oh, I see. So the housing market's crashing.
Yes. And they're also saying the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors is saying one interest rate cut is not going to turn it around because there's a soft labor market and low consumer confidence. So it looks like the UK Anglo-Saxon economic miracle is about to all come crashing in.
All right. Hand me back that vegetable story. But I like that story for later. All right, so I'm here looking at Fusac, and the ad says, French woman would like to exchange conversation with an English native speaker. It looks like her name is Isabel. All right, so dial this number, 01.
You can't say it. Oh.
It's in the Fusac.
Okay.
01-4606-5563. We'll see what Isabel has to say here in the Fric Show. But she's probably on vacation, that's the thing, you know. They probably went down to the south of France.
She is French, and her name is Isabel.
Yeah, that's all we know
about her. I saw some woman named Isabel going to the south of France.
No, you saw her? It's not working? All right. We're trying to get Isabel on the phone.
You have a story about French people.
No, this is probably the best time eater-upper I've come up with yet. Yeah, who says doing a two-hour show is hard? It's easy if you got stunts like this.
Time to add an extra hour.
We need another hour on the show.
We could call all sorts of lonely hearts.
Well, you know, we were talking about aspartame, and it causes cancer, apparently. And we're talking about Coca-Cola, which is, okay. What do we got here? Hello.
The phone is ringing.
Oh, no. Bonjour, Isabel. Say Max à la Paré, Max Kaiser, de Paris Live Radio. Je vois votre advertisement dans Fusac. Que vous voulez parler avec quelqu'un? Pardon? Oh, yes. That you would like to exchange English. And we're here to help you with this. The phone number is 01-425-41659. Looking forward to hearing from you. Between 10 and 12 in the morning. That would be fantastic. Every morning. That's great.
You have a show. Well,
yeah, we do a show. We do a show on the radio. You could be on the radio with us. So anyway, I was born in New York back in 1960. And I'm here with Stacy, and we do the show. We do the show on the radio, and you could be a part of the show. You see, that's the whole concept here. We saw your ad in Fusac. But maybe you think it's not a good idea. You're probably away on vacation right now in the south of France. You're probably sucking down a beautiful plate of moule right now and some nice escargot and some nice beautiful cheese, and you're having a whole French thing. We're stuck in Paris doing this stinking show. That's the kind of thing we can talk about. Okay, well, give us a call at that number, Isabel. have a nice day. All right, she's not home. We need better interns on this show.
We also, next week, maybe we should call somebody in Versailles.
Versailles, where they listen to the show in the basement of the Palace Versailles. Have you ever been to the Palace in Versailles?
No, but maybe we'll go this weekend, you know.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We need to do something this weekend because we have this this ill health Californian here, and he needs some fresh air.
Yeah.
But we don't know whether to go to Fontainebleau, Versailles, or Chantilly.
All right, call them. Since feeling down, it's like a psycho hotline.
No, that's not funny to make fun of depressed people.
Okay. When I ask your opinion during the break, we're going to talk about it. But right now, we're going to call these people.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry if they're defending your sensibilities over there. You know?
It's because my index finger is longer than my pointer finger, my ring finger.
This is why women have clitorises. You know? Gosh, I wish I could get more into that. It's 11:29 right now. We're going to break for a commercial. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the SOS.
Don't touch that dial, or I'll bite you. You're listening to Paris Live Radio.
All right, we're back on the Frick Show, 11:31 on a Friday. This is a day in France when many people skip work because yesterday was a national holiday. The 14th of Juliet, the Bastille Day. And then they take Friday off. It's called Le Pont, the bridge between the day off on Thursday and the weekend. But why bother sticking around Friday? No one else is there. You take the pont, take the bridge into the weekend and get 4 days off. This is the kind of thing that they're trying to get rid of now. The hedge fund managers in the UK and in the US, they want to fly into Germany and France and tell these French people, no more Le Pont for you. You got to be at your desk working like a slave. Forget the 35-hour work week. We want you to work in 70 hours a week. You got to increase your productivity. You got to increase your GDP. That's what we want out of you, French people. No more of this lounging about 3-hour lunches. You got to work your ass off now. I don't know. The French people don't seem to be taking on to this too well. You know? God bless them, because they got a better model, in my opinion. It's a battle of the models, the French model versus everybody else. You're either with us or against us. Either you love camembert cheese, or you like processed cheese. Either you love beautiful French women in skirts riding on bicycles, or you like fat, obese Midwesterners pushing shopping carts in Walmart. Either you like beautiful architecture, or you like McDonald's architecture. Which do you prefer? You're either with us or against us. Now, looking at the Fuzak here, it says that a couple are searching for a young man to take with them on vacation. They got an email address here, 1944 Michelle, at wannadude.france. It's probably when this guy was born, 1944. He's some old geezer, some geek, some lech, and his young wife. They're looking for some young guy to take down to the south of France and have their way with. It's all here in the Fuzak. We're going to be covering that on the next show. We've got videos from this encounter, this menage a trois. This is a menage a trois. You heard about it? Menage a trois. This is a menage a trois in the making. This is where a menage a trois is born, right here in the Fuzak. Here's a guy, cultivated and handsome New Yorker, 39, romantic, sensitive, kind, giving, athletic, with an esprit poétique. Yeah, right. This guy, what a poser this guy is. He seeks an attractive, sophisticated, and sincere young lady. Un peu la fashion victim. A little fashion victim. He likes a woman who's a little bit of a victim of fashion, who spends a little bit too much on her Jimmy Choi shoes. Jimmy, what's his name? Chow. Jimmy Chow? Between 29 and 37 for friendship, tender moments, travel, and anal penetration. So much more. Email photo, appreciated. I couldn't think of the word. Sodomy, right?
Sodomy.
Yeah, I couldn't think of sodomy. That's funny. Sodomy's funny. Anal penetration is not funny. Too clinical.
Sodomy,
that's funny.
Sodomy.
You say it's kind of... Saddam Hussein? Remember the fun, good times we had with Sodom?
Yeah, remember how much Bush loved saying, we're going to get Sodom.
We're going to get Sodom.
We're going to have... Yeah.
And Laura Bush is looking at his little sphincter there. Ooh, honey, I'm going to be doing a Sodom to you later. My big fat dildo. My big fat black dildo. Vibrating big fat black dildo. Laura Bush is doing a little Sodom thing to Georgie Bush.
You know it.
Down in the basement. They got the Abu Ghraib videos. You get some hard as a rock. That's Condoleezza Rice, doesn't it? Yeah, but she likes the white dildos. You know, no one likes what they got. You know what I'm saying? Everyone wants what the other people want.
That's how Condi...
Condi likes the big white dildos. Laura Bush likes the big black dildos.
You know, Condi met them through Fusak. She saw an ad, couple wants young, hot, black babe to come on holiday with them. And she went, you know, to Camp David with them, and they got on so well. They made her national security advisor, now Secretary of State.
She's sexy. Condi Rice is sexy. She's got that tight black ass I love. I love that. I'm sure it's clean and, you know, well-shaved, waxed, whatever. I'm sure she waxes her butt. You know.
I don't think she bleaches it, though.
No, like Michael Jackson?
Yeah,
the butthole
happened.
Bleaching?
Yeah.
No, she doesn't. Who wants a bleached butthole? Yeah, they say the darker the cherry, the sweeter the juice. I learned that in Harlem.
But
we were talking about Harlem the other day. We're saying I lived in 4 years in Harlem. It was like, what a complete waste of time, you know? I lived 4 years in Harlem. I learned things like that. The blacker the cherry, the sweeter the juice. So it wasn't a complete waste of time. You learn a lot living in Harlem, 145th Street and Broadway. Sugar Hill. It's where the Sugar Hill gang started. Rap music started. Harlem. Max Kaiser was there at the birth of it. It has not gotten a single nickel in residuals. And that's the problem I have today. I've been there. I've been at every single significant historical junction in the history of America for the last 30 years, and I haven't gotten a nickel in royalties. Meanwhile, you got these schmucks in Los Angeles, Spielberg, Geffen, Katzenberg, are alleged for insider trading. There's not enough that they make these billion-dollar movies. They got to allegedly get involved in insider trading scams as well. Where's my nickel? Where's my royalty? Coca-Cola, they're peddling this poisonous aspartame-riddled Diet Coke plus their sugar-riddled corn syrup-riddled farm subsidy African impoverishing genocide Coke. Where's my nickel? Where's my slice of this righteous opium? How come I don't get paid? Well, we're going to fix that right now, aren't we? This show is going to the top. Ratings in France are skyrocketing. In the basement of the Versailles, we got now 7 people listening over that whatever it is. NC Numericab. Now, speaking of British people crying like babies in Trafalgar Square because a few of them white people got blown up. Who cares? It's the cost of doing business. It's the cost of doing business. You want to do business, you're going to take casualties. You're going to take some people are going to get hurt. Just because it happened in your own hometown and they're white people, it doesn't make it any less of a business proposition, my friends in the UK. Yeah, well, they like to cry, don't they? Ever since Diana. You know, until Diana, they had a reputation for stiff upper lips, stoic. Then Diana died, and they're like, blah, blah. They're little babies over there. If you're going to do business, you know, stand up to the consequences of doing business. Okay, a couple of white people got blown up. So what? Spread betters are making a killing on that, literally. Now, in the UK, you know, they're trying to get people to eat more vegetables. This is what else is happening in the UK, aside from the freedom fighters.
But you just said they don't even grow any there.
Oh, my God, it's the weather bed.
Oh, no. Oh, what's the weather? You know, it's so busy here, I haven't had time to look at the updated weather report. But so I'll bring you something from yesterday's news. Do you know, in Scotland, famous for their bad weather, right? Cloudy, rain, cloudy, rain, wind, cloudy, rain, wind. Well, there's a massive increase in skin cancer there because there's so much sun that people don't realize they're getting skin cancer. But deadly, very deadly. Mostly the men. It's not affecting the women because women are smart. They read those women's magazines that tell you, even on cloudy days, wear SPF 15. Even on cloudy days, protect yourself. Max, you're looking very sexy with that dance.
Yeah, you mentioned those women's magazines. I read those all the time.
I know you do.
Because they give you the tips.
The tits?
The tips.
The tips. Okay.
Because they say, for example, to the woman reading Cosmo, oh, this month, the blood orange is the preferred color for your lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what women in Milan and Paris are wearing, right?
Yeah.
So you see a woman on the street, and you go, wow, is that blood red orange lipstick you're wearing? It looks fantastic on you. And before you know it, they're performing acts of unnatural sexual behavior for you. But, of course, we don't do that anymore because we go into Fuzak and we bring in third parties. We outsource our sexual fantasies to third parties. We're outsourcing to our fantastical sexual escapades through Fuzak. So we're getting all kinds of responses. You know, the Bois de Boulogne in Paris, when I was living here in the early 90s, talk about your sexual circus. You know, before
yes,
they went in there
we've
and
heard of this.
Cleaned it up a little bit, man, you got the transvestites, the transsexuals, the homosexuals, the bisexuals, the heterosexuals, all, you know, slot A into organ B. You wouldn't believe the kind of things that went on in there. Massive.
Out in the open.
Massive orgies right there out in the open. Before they were doing this dogging in London. You heard about this dogging? People to meet, thanks to texting and other technological innovations, they meet in the park, strangers. They have sex. And people gather to watch. Then they disband just as quickly as they got together. It's called dogging. I suppose because dogs have sex in the public nice. Domain.
But they're complete strangers, and they agree to meet over an internet chat room. And then whatever, two of them will have sex, and then they all disappear. It's better than the Japanese version, though.
Yeah, they meet in places and commit suicide.
Yeah.
You know, they have the young Japanese kids. They have these suicide cults. What is it about the Japanese? They got this whole kamikaze thing going. They're talking about suicide bombers. You know, it's kamikaze bombers. It's nothing new. What? Back they do it back in the last big war, World War II. It's nothing new. You know, before the break, a couple of breaks ago, you were going to talk about the Columbine thing. I think we may have already talked about it.
But this is kind of brings it back.
Yeah.
It just made me think of it again because it's like, what is going on that teenagers across the world, it's not just Muslims, it's not just young Muslim boys that are blowing themselves up. Americans are doing it in a different way, either through obesity or Uzis, like blowing away their classmates. And the Japanese are doing it silently in secluded love spots. With strangers.
Inscrutable suicide packs from Japanese teenage girls.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just strange that everybody they're all committing suicide. Like, why? I don't think it's a question of, like, what's wrong with Islam? Why do they hate us? It's like, why
you
do
know,
all...
You mentioned that, and I had a brief moment of flash in my mind, and I never understood the lyrics of that song for that TV show MASH, Suicide is Painless. Now, I'm wondering, is there a connection? Because if there isn't, the only thing that'll bail me out here would be a commercial.
We've got 2 minutes to a commercial.
Isn't the way that song goes, suicide is painless? Suicide is painless, something like that. Remember that
I don't
song?
Actually know the words, but suicide is painless. Suicide is painless. No. Maybe they're saying it's not painless.
Is the reality of the world we live in just too painful? Because, you know, the fact is that you got this corporate thing going on that... They don't have any kind of sense about what they're doing to the environment or what they're doing to people. You know, they're creating an extremely painful world in which we have to slog through, slouching toward, you know, Shell's annual meeting.
Well,
it's a big goddamn clusterfuck. Oh, I can't say that. Sorry.
I think that the options, your choices, are becoming more and more limited, what you're allowed to do, what there is an option to do if you're going to participate in that Anglo-Saxon capitalist, uber-capitalist model going on around the world. And it's kind of bleak. Basically, you just have to keep consuming, consuming, consuming.
Well, people in Japan, they seem to have a culture that doesn't really look down on suicide. Mm. I mean, it's the noble thing to do if you're caught, you know, and you've lost face, you've brought dishonor to yourself or your family, you commit suicide, ceremonial ritual suicide, and it's not, you know, looked down upon the way it is in America, because in America, suicide means maybe less sales for Walmart. Suicide means maybe less sales for McDonald's. You know, they don't want you killing yourself quickly. Because they're trying to amortize your slow suicide over 20, 30, 40 years of buying all this crap. Aspartame.
Yeah, I think
McDonald's hamburgers. That's why they're against abortion in America. They don't want to lose those consumers. You think they want to lose those cigarette smokers? All those little fetuses? They're going to grow up to be big smokers. Big aspartame users. That's why they're against abortion. Honey?
I think actually the Catholics say if you commit suicide, you turn into a tree.
They do?
Yeah.
Where does it say that in the Catholic religion?
In Hades. You turn into a tree.
You go into Hades, you turn into a tree?
Yeah, and you stay there forever.
Well, that's kind of a... Well, so what? A tree is providing oxygen. A tree is sustaining.
Not in Hades.
I would love to be a tree. Just, you know.
Wait, so you can be turned into an IKEA, like,
an
disposable
IKEA
table?
Disposable flat-pack table? That doesn't sound good. Unless I'm in some Swedish home with some Swedish lesbians. Oh, my God, lesbians. How do you get away from it? It's impossible. More of La Frick Show right after these words.
Paris Live Radio.
It's one nation on the groove. It's a big family.
Now, 11:48 on Friday morning in Paris, in Pigalle, up here in Pigalle, home of the Moulin Rouge. You saw that in the movie, didn't you? The Moulin Rouge and Nicole Kidman dancing and prancing. A lot of tourists don't know one of the tricks here when you come to Paris. If you come up to this area of town at 7:30 in the morning, all the can-can girls are on the street practicing. So you can get a free Moulin Rouge show right out here on the street. They practice their routines. They do the whole high-kicking business right up here on the street. It's beautiful. It's 7:30 a.m. We come here in the morning, and we check that out. You know, a lot of them, it's too early in the morning. They don't bother getting dressed, so they're actually naked out there doing the can-can at 7:30 a.m. up here in Pigalle.
They do. They close down the roads for them, too, don't they?
Yeah, you know, that's the way it is in France. Mm. You know, that's just a normal day.
They're supporting the worker. You know, they do this free show for all the people driving to work.
That's right. That's right. Well, on a more prosaic note, it turns out that China, you know, we like to talk about China on this show. China, the emerging economy of China at 11:50 in the morning here.
Yeah.
Paris Live Radio. You know, they talk about the Chinese reserve of dollars that they're building up. It's their war chest. Because they sell all this cheap crap to America, fat, obese pigs in the Midwest. And they get a lot of dollars as a result of that. And up until recently, they've been recycling those dollars, buying U.S. government bonds, which has kept interest rates artificially low and fed a spectacular real estate speculation bubble all over the world. But recently, the Chinese have said, you know what? We're getting tired of these bonds. They don't pay us any interest. We're going to start buying stuff, like they're going to buy Unocal. For example, they just raised a bid for Unocal by $5 billion. They offered him another $5 billion for Unocal, or half a billion, or another billion. And meanwhile, all the hedge funds in the world, which are mercenaries, the mercenaries of the finance world, they got what's called the hot money. The hot money. They're going into China now because they're speculating that Chinese are just not Class B players. They're becoming the X, as they say on Wall Street, the X, the main player. So now, check this out. The amount of reserves that China has, excess dollars in the bank, they predict, according to those financial terrorists at J.P. Morgan, it's going to be over $1 trillion. Over $1 trillion in excess discretionary funds and dollars to go out there and buy stuff. Now, the New York Stock Exchange, the entire New York Stock Exchange is worth about $10 trillion. So they can conceivably go in there and start buying, you know, 10%. They could go buy Alaska. They could go buy Hawaii. You know, remember, America got big because they bought Louisiana from the French. Now China's going to get big and they can buy Alaska from the Americans because the Americans are so goddamn dead. Because they got that rhesus monkey down there in the White House spending all those checks. Yeah, you should put the dildo down, Laura, George. Focus on the economy, at least for 5 goddamn minutes. Because you got these Chinese now with $1 trillion. That's a big, big shopping list they got coming in there. So anyway, they got $1 trillion they're going to start spending. The hot money is moving into China. And as we reported on this show last week, a lot of the accounting that they do to kind of keep track of this money, they have no idea where this money is. Remember, the IOC, International Clearing Corporation for Transactions, said that we did an accounting of the global trade flows, and we can't account for something like $800 million. It's missing. It's either in this account or that account. We're not sure. So they don't even know who you know, they got the accounting system. So they got $1 trillion in money. They're starting to make things. The Unical thing is going to be bought up. They raised their bid for Unical, and where are the defenders of freedom and democracy against this? Because as you know, China is still technically a human rights violator. It's an autocracy. It's a dictatorship. So you've married two of the worst systems you possibly can have: capitalism and a dictatorship. So you end up with forced consumption. It's not forced labor anymore. That model is out of date because the guys at the top under forced labor, they're making lots of money. But then they said, you know what? I think the Americans are onto something. Let's do forced consumption. You consume yourself. You take on all this debt. You consume yourself to fat, stupid pigs. Okay? We're going to lend you the money. We get all the fees. You drop dead of obesity or diabetes. You harvest yourself like a duck on a foie gras farm. We don't care. We got the fees. So then now North Korea is into this now, forced consumption. They're opening their markets to this thing. They're letting people, giving them credit cards. Let them forget the cake. Don't let them eat cake. Give them a credit card. Give them a Visa card. Give them a MasterCard. That's what they want. They want to run over 60,000 pounds of debt, stuffing their fat face with cake. All the cake you could possibly want, made in China. So this is the real problem we're talking about on this show, the Frick Show, 1154. Every single listener in Versailles knows what I'm talking about is true. And one of our 5 listeners in Versailles, in the basement of Versailles. We're going to go to Versailles tomorrow, by the way. We're doing a special Frick Show outing. We got a little short bus. We got the short bus out.
The special bus for special people.
The special bus is being washed up, polished. We're going over to Versailles to meet our listeners. It's going to be a meet and greet of the Frick Show listeners in Versailles tomorrow.
What will you be wearing? How will they know it's us?
I'm going to be wearing my Eldridge Cleaver dick pants.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they get a pocket, the dick pocket. Eldridge Cleaver made this very famous in the 60s. It's a velvet dick pocket Eldridge Cleaver pants. Okay? Then I'm going to stuff it with a big fat zucchini so you can't miss me. I'm getting my zucchini in my pants. That'll be me. Okay, because the Black Panthers are coming back. The 60s are coming back. There's a revolution coming back. I talk to my friends in America. They say, nah, you're crazy. The things are so bad here. People are, you know, so far right. They've become evangelicals.
Evangelicals.
Evangelicals. And evangelicals.
And the blacks in America, they only have Puff Daddy.
Blacks in America.
Diddy,
what happened to the black leadership in America? What, P. Diddy is going to lead a revolution? No. He's going to. They need rims for their T-Birds and their Corvettes. That's mm-hmm. what anyone talks about in Los Angeles. Like, hey, nice rims. Like, a story about a woman. She's on welfare. She borrowed $4,000, and kids were starving, so she could buy rims for the wheels of her car. This is the culture there. The rim culture. They're getting a rim job. That's what I'm the whole.
Yeah, well, maybe they shouldn't have made a national holiday out of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Because now they think, oh, okay.
Yeah, they appeased. Everything's cool.
We've sorted it.
Once a day, once a year. We'll do, you know,
it's like
we'll
a Live 8
pay
concert.
Our respects to human rights, but then we're going back to forced consumption.
Yeah.
Chinese style.
Yeah.
Communism. Well, we got about 4 more minutes, so I want to touch on this story because, you know, in Britain, they're desperate because the people there, the obesity rates are skyrocketing. The obesity rates are climbing. The life expectancy in Britain this generation for the first time since World War II is shorter than their generation before it due to obesity, diabetes, overeating, forced consumption. So they're trying to get the kids to eat more vegetables, and they've come up with chocolate vegetables. It's canned vegetables with chocolate syrup in the can of vegetable. So you get green beans with chocolate syrup.
That is so disgusting, I have to say. It's not true. It's not possibly true.
It is true.
Green beans with chocolate syrup.
That's what they got now in Britain, to try to get the kids to eat more vegetables. And it's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is running the economy over there.
What about those countries where they do chocolate-covered ants and beetles?
They get protein in those ants and beetles. They get some limp green bean.
Is that the same genetically modified
green bean from Monsanto that's had all the nutrients stripped out of it. It's a limp green cardboard covered in chocolate. That's what they're giving the kids now. So anyway, they're calling on the French because the tinned vegetables have poor sales in the UK, even the chocolate-covered green beans. But a French company's new packaging could change that. So in France, they got the Tetra Pak. You know the Tetra Pak, which is, I think, is invented by some Northern European guy.
It's Swiss.
They made a lot of money on that thing.
They made a fortune.
Why can't we come up with something like that? Hermetically sealed packaging for food. So the Tetra Pak, they're going to start selling Tetra Pak vegetables to people in Britain, thanks to France. France is coming to the rescue once again. If there's a problem with food, the French will save you.
Yeah, but are people going to eat it? Are children going to eat it?
Well, the thing is, you just eating vegetables from France doesn't make you French. See, that's what they don't understand. It's a whole cultural thing. It's a cultural exchange. Okay, you got to eat the vegetables, but you also got to drink the wine. You got to eat the cheese. You got to have a baguette. You got to have.
You have to look good in a skirt.
You got to look good in a skirt. You know, it's a whole cultural thing. You just can't ship over some Tetra Pak vegetables and expect people to suddenly start speaking French and enjoying, you know, respecting human rights and starting to think like, well, maybe the community is more important than my own little greedy set of agendas. Maybe profits can wait. Maybe I should think about the humanity and the ecology first. That's what they got in this country, you know, believe it or not. France is a leader. It's the leading economy in the world. It's not growing as fast as these other economies, but they're not polluting like these other economies, you see? See, the French should be lecturing the British, not the other way around. The French have the sustainable model. The French people are happy. The British people are distraught. The British people are panicking. The British people are nervous. The British people are eating chocolate-covered green beans.
Yeah,
they're in trouble.
Speaking of chocolate-covered green beans.
They're not stoic. It's Stolichnaya. They're drunk. They're drunk off their ass. They're in the street vomiting.
Yeah, but 25% of their health budget goes on treating obesity and obesity-related diseases.
Well, there you go.
But they call that GDP.
That's right.
Just because French don't have fat, obese people taking up a huge percentage of their healthcare budget.
They say that their economy is not growing fast enough.
Exactly. Well, what they're basically saying is you aren't growing fast enough. Get fatter, fatter, fatter.
The French have a word for it. It's called foie gras. You know, it's for ducks. It's not for humans. You fat British ducks. Get the duck out of here. Hey, we'll be more with LaFrick Show next Monday. Until then, hoping your weekend is as enjoyable as our sex.